Hello, I'm Ed Butler, and welcome to Business Daily. Today, we're reaching for the stars.
Open 3, 2, 1, 0.
Start.
Now, both of those guys you just heard are themselves former NASA scientists. They branched out into the private sector. Paul Sean Hill is another one. In fact, he's the former director of NASA's Mission Control in Houston, the man responsible for all human spaceflight missions and astronaut training between 2007 and 2014 for NASA. He's now branched out, applying his extraterrestrial know-how to teach rather more earthbound operatives like retailers, service sector bosses, how to run their firms. He told me about one remarkable life lesson that he learned at Mission Control.
We had a shuttle that had docked to the International Space Station, and I was responsible for the shuttle during this mission. And one of the two cooling systems stopped working correctly, which is a big problem because without any cooling, the shuttle itself would essentially turn off and the astronauts wouldn't have any control. My expert for the cooling system told me that based on everything he was seeing, he suspected that we had ice in the system that was plugging it up, and our engineering counterparts were telling him that that wasn't physically possible. But he had no other explanation for what he was seeing, and his significant concern was if we really had ice, it could crack the system. So we pursued it as if we had ice in the system and did a lot of things we weren't normally supposed to do in order to heat up the systems that were being cooled by this loop that now wasn't working. And in about an hour, we had restored normal temperatures, restored normal flow in that loop. After the mission, the experts dismantled that system, and lo and behold, it had water that it was not supposed to have. And if we had ignored that, we would have lost all cooling and would have had to either abandon ship, likely would have lost all the astronauts on board.
That was extraordinary because, as you say, you were gambling. You were flying blind on your diagnosis.
And we were defying the experts' read, which we did not do lightly. But in this case, if we listen to the experts, we are actually taking a risk. You know, the significant takeaway is always understand why you're taking the action that you're taking. Not just because, well, we've done it this way before and it's always been all right. Because this situation might be different than it was before. Or we might have been wrong every time before. And which is the least safe route for you to go?
There's a moment in the movie Apollo 13, which of course is about the nearly failed moon mission from the early 70s, starring Tom Hanks. And in that film, there's a crisis moment. There is the crisis moment. NASA is essentially playing with bits of sticky back plastic and cabling and wire and any old bits of tubing that are available to fix literally a malfunctioning spacecraft. Clearly, that is Hollywood, and Hollywood invents dramatic moments for the sake of entertainment. But did it ever come to that level? I mean, presumably, a lot of the troubleshooting was going on with the guys up there in space, armed with the kit that they'd gone up with.
You bet. In fact, that part of the movie portrayed it almost exactly the way it really happened, including dumping out a box full of all the materials that the astronauts had available to them onto a couple of tables in a conference room and say, now, how do we build a box that we can put the CO2 remover in? And when we finish, we have to be able to tell the astronauts how to do it. I was just talking with Fred Hayes yesterday, the astronaut that was portrayed by Bill Paxton. The one thing he didn't like about the movie was on board, there was some kind of emotion, and Jim Lovell at one point hugged him while he was sick. And he says, he never hugged me, and we weren't worried about anything. We took care of business, and we knew the ground was going to take care of us. But you also can't give in and panic.
Listening to your voice, Paul, you don't sound like a regular panicker.
Well, you know, the nice thing about growing up in a business like that is we are groomed to focus and take care of business and panic later. You know, we earn the names steely-eyed missile men and steely-eyed missile women. But most of us, and me included, on my best day as a flight director, when I really felt good about saving that cooling loop, for example, when I walked out of the building after my shift was over, my hands were trembling and I looked up at the sky and said, oh my God, I can't believe that just happened. We were so close.
Did you hug anyone?
I definitely did my wife as soon as I went home.
I love hearing you talk about all of this, Paul, and it is mesmerizing, these anecdotes of life and death experiences. I suppose part of me is struggling to imagine you communicating this to a man involved in retail.
Well, you know, I had that same thought the first time I gave a talk outside of our community. And the first group I spoke to was a group of supply chain managers. This was probably a 45-minute speech, and by about 10 minutes in, they were sitting on the edges of their seat, eyes wide open, and I realized, oh no, they are getting this. Because the thing is, it doesn't matter what business you're running, especially as the business grows large, you have all kinds of opportunity for people on your team to make wrong decisions, either get in a hurry and ignore some things that they should have paid attention to, or assume that something that you're faced with, say a customer problem, is similar to one you've had before, and your product suffers, maybe you lose customers, and you do that badly enough, you bankrupt the company. And while that's not like blowing up a spacecraft full of astronauts, to those people, it is just as catastrophic and just as severe. In fact, the three accidents that NASA had where we lost astronauts, Apollo 1, Challenger, and Columbia, each of those three was not principally an engineering problem, but we had so bought into, as a community, how good we are at what we do, at such a difficult thing, that we started shooting from the hip and making decisions without the same deliberate rigor, and we got sloppy.
One of the legacies, I suppose, of NASA now is that a lot of it has been privatized. Do you think that the privatization is adding risks, making it a more dangerous and frightening enterprise?
It has the potential to add risk, only because as new companies and new teams of people start managing these enormous risks that are still barely within human capability to manage effectively, I worry about them having to relearn some of the same lessons by hard knocks rather than having experienced veterans who understand that. Not at the same time, there's all kinds of private entities that do very dangerous things all the time and do them well. I mean, look at the airlines. So they can get there, but they do have to be very methodical, very deliberate, make sure that they are making decisions and taking risks for all the right reasons.
Former NASA Mission Control boss Paul Sean Hill. So there you are, boys and girls. Keep your feet on the ground while you're reaching for the stars.